Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
So this is Easter 2021, a little bit different than it was last year. The COVID hit, and we were online for just a small stretch of period of time. So I much enjoyed this better than staring at a camera. Although I'm going to say this, I welcome all those who are online. We have lots of people who stream their services or will watch this in the weeks to come online. So I love you very much. Thank you so much for joining us as well. The Spirit's coming through to get you as well. But it's awesome being here with God's people. So I just want to read for you just a story and a narrative. And I'm going to take Isaiah 53 from the Message version, because I like the way it displays it out more as a narrative. And then I'm going to move into Isaiah 43. So if you want to grab your Bibles and read with me, you can, but it's going to be in the Message version. So Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 43. I'll start in Isaiah 53, read down first 12 verses, and then move into Isaiah 43. And then part of, just hear me on this, on Isaiah 43, because it was a messianic prophecy, I have inserted in my narrative Jesus into it, okay? So when you're reading through and you go, wait a minute, it says Isaiah, it didn't say anything the name of Jesus. No, it was foretelling Jesus. We're on this side of the cross, which means we get to say the resurrected one, amen? So here's the story of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he had brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled on all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him, on Jesus. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb, he was taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice was miscarried, and he was let off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died, what a thought, without a thought for his own welfare, beaten, bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him into a grave with a rich man, even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad that he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I will reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and he didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. In Isaiah 43, let everyone who hears and sees this message open up your heart and receive it. Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Jesus the Christ as a ransom for your freedom, and he died in your place because I gave him in exchange for you. I traded his life for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east and the west. I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols, their prophets, their philosophies, their politicians, or their false gods have ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they have spoken the truth? But you are my witnesses. All who follow Jesus, says the Lord. You are my servant. You've been chosen to know me, to believe in me, and to understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There has never been, and there will never be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First I predicted your rescue, then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. And from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. That's the gospel. We can make it too heady. We can try to make it where we can understand. But can you possibly comprehend that love? What a love. That's why we're here. But the beauty is I don't have to understand it to receive it. And when I move out of my own way and allow Him just to lavish His love, lavish His truth, lavish His Holy Spirit on us, then we move into something. Jesus is risen. Jesus is truly risen. He's alive. We thank Him for the cross because on the cross, He died paying for my sinful nature. You know what that was? He was paying for your funeral. The old nature, the old man that needed to die with Christ, He paid for your funeral. Why? So that in His resurrection, He made provision for your new life. You're being born again, stepping into this. The tomb of Jesus became the birthing room for the resurrection to be released. See, today's message is not all that complex. I'm not going to go through the Greek and the Hebrew and give you an understanding, although I could and I've done that before. I'm not going to talk about how the Passover was a foreshadowing of what would happen with Christ. It was worthwhile. But I want to keep it simple. I'm not going to talk to you about the possibilities, all 300 prophecies of the Christ. Do you know the ability for a single person to fulfill all the prophecies about Jesus, over 300, is 10 to the 57th power? 10 to the 57th power? That's a whole lot of zeros, 57 zeros, just to fulfill those prophecies. I'm not going to go through that. I don't need to. Why? Because I've had an encounter with the risen one. I don't know about you, but I've seen Him face to face. I've had encounters with Him face to face. I've heard His voice in the dark of night. I've heard Him on the mountaintop of good things. I've been with Him. He knows me and I know Him. And I'm here to let you know who He is. I remember talking to a Muslim man who's a Muslim believer in Christ. And I said, how did you come to Christ? And he said, Jesus appeared to me in a dream and a vision. And he says, I was so adamantly against Jesus Christ. I was so adamantly against Christians, I wanted to kill Christians until I met Christ. Jesus showed up. Put that in your theological book. Theologians can't explain Him showing up because they're looking for things the mind can comprehend rather than this, the things that the Spirit is pouring out. I talked to a Jewish man who is now a Messianic Jew, and I asked him, I said, what did it take for you to realize and recognize that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah? And he said in the same thing, same word, he says, I was going through my prayers and I heard the voice of God. And he says, I thought I recognized Him until He says, my name is Jesus. How about you? You don't have to have a dramatic experience like that. Maybe right now this is the first time you're hearing the voice of Jesus. Because in the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word, you're actually hearing the voice of the Lord coming to you saying, come home, come to know him, come experience the fullness of goodness that God has for you. If the church has misrepresented him, I'm sorry. Stop expecting church and religious people to represent him. How has he represented himself already? We need to lay aside offenses so we can step into the fullness of what God has. I want to talk to you about the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus loved you. Jesus died as you. Jesus was resurrected as you. It's simple. You were once separated, now you're not, because of what Jesus did. John 14:6, Jesus told him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Matthew 7:13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I used to believe that that meant now that I've accepted Jesus, still narrow is my path. No, the path to get to him, the door is narrow. There's only one door. It's Jesus. You can't get to him through Buddha. You can't get to him through Allah. You can't get through him any other way. It's through Jesus the Christ. But once you enter into that door, it opens up wide possibilities for you. He wants to give you abundant life. He wants to be able to discover who you were created and redeemed to be from the beginning of the foundations of the earth. And so it is. There's this narrow path. It's only Jesus. There's no way. But when I come in, now I'm part of the kingdom, and there is no place the kingdom cannot touch. The great obstacle to your eternal life and finding your total victory here on earth, as it is in heaven, is not the devil. It's not your past. It's not your limitations. It's your willingness to die with Christ and be resurrected with him. We blame the devil for way too much stuff, and can we all agree he's a worthy adversary? I mean, like, he does his thing, and he's made a mess. But the only way the devil can ever make a mess is when the children of God stop being the children of God. It's not the devil keeping you from salvation. It's your willingness to say, I present before you today a choice, life or death. Choose whom today, whom you're going to serve. It's a simple choice. It's a narrow gate. Walk in. Be born again. God honors our choices. Matthew 16:24 and 25, then Jesus said to the disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up the cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We need to understand, this is not paying every day your penance of going like, oh, what a sinful schmuck I was, and oh, look at me, I've got my cross, and let me just whip myself and walk through the streets. That's actually telling people that you never met Jesus. Or it's telling people that what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. No, taking up the cross is recognizing this. My life was purchased at Calvary through the cross. When I take up what is his, I'm actually taking up the resurrection life. Do you understand that there is no Christ without a resurrection? If there had been a man named Jesus who really spoke great philosophy, who really did love people well and was kind and walked around and did good works to everybody, and who died a criminal's death on the cross, and there was no resurrection, there would be no hope for us whatsoever. He wasn't just another man. He was the Son of God who became the Son of Man so that you could become the sons of God. I've seen the church for way too long step into this place of a salvation experience, barely getting in through the narrow gate, and then living as if they're still stuck in the narrow gate. One foot in this world of how bad they were, and one foot into the glory of what God's going, and one day he's going to rapture me, one day I'm going to die, I'm going to see him face to face, and one day it'll all be good, or he'll wipe all the tears from my face, he'll renew me, I'll have a glorified body. Yeah, that'll be the day. But all the days of your life, they live in this place, stuck in between a doorway. And Jesus is going, wait a minute. Look out those doors. The harvest is ripe. They're not coming into the door if you're blocking the door. Get through that door. Experience the fullness of salvation. Experience the fullness of resurrection. It's time for us to really understand that when he paid for us, he wasn't just rescuing us from a bad ending. He was going back. Do you know, he says he knew you before he knit you into his mother's womb. You know what he was doing? He was restoring you back to relationship with himself so that he could restore the mandate that he'd given his children. What was that mandate? Take dominion over the earth. And we get freaked out by what happens in the earth like it has dominion over us. It says, be fruitful, multiply. It says, let me make them in my likeness and in my image. When you were born again, you're made into his likeness and the image of Jesus the Christ. Tell me what Jesus is subject to on this earth now. Nothing. All is subject to him. And he's calling people home. He wants you home. He loves you. He wants you to know what he's got for you. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified. Repeat after me. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the gospel. That's very simple to hear. But if we overcomplicate it, we're going, oh, you mean I got to live like Jesus? He's got to live in me? How's that thing work out? It's like overload. No. Listen to the next part of that verse. And every day I live in the flesh is lived by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every day I'm living by the faith of Jesus. Not just in him. Do you know the demons believe in him? And they tremble. What do you believe about him? Are you believing in him or are you living in him? It's not just about believing in him. It's do you live in him? Does he live inside of you so he can live your life, his life, through you? Jesus didn't die just for you. He died as you so that you can live his life in you. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Paul understood this moment that there's a group of people who were still hung up in the world. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are the Romans going to do, right? What disease? Where's leprosy? Oh, look, there's this pile of lepers all over here. We got to stay away from the lepers. We got to stay away from COVID. It's a real thing, right? It caused fear in society. It caused fear. We're worried about the Romans. We're worried about what's happened here. And he's saying, but I've come to you and I've determined to know only Christ crucified. Why is that important? Because all the junk that used to have an authority over you was crucified with Christ. He was severing the tie that this world has in you. The problem is when we re-sow it back into our life. And we lose our focus. And he says, wait a minute, no. I've crucified the world's interest inside of you. I've made Jesus known that all that was taken care of. Why? Because if I see that, then what is holding me back from living resurrected? Nothing. So if you feel like you've been, man, I believe in Jesus. I want to live this, but I'm feeling like I'm just kind of buttoned up against the wall. I feel like I've just got this bungee cord tethered to my back, and I get forward and I get yanked back. It's time to maybe once again and go back. What did Jesus crucify on the cross? What is that thing that you're allowing to stay tethered to you? What's that belief system? What's that offense? What's that person that you're holding on to? What's that idol inside of your life? And it's time to lay those aside. He crucified that on the cross. Why? So that you can live resurrected. The one whom the Son has set free is what? Freedom to me means freedom. It doesn't mean I keep getting yanked backwards. It doesn't mean I still got these stupid chains on me. It doesn't mean that I still get offended all the time. What happens when you get offended? Take it back to the cross. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way that you think. The road of heaven is narrow and comes through only one door, Jesus. But once you walk through that door, there's a world of amazing possibilities. Psalm 16:5-11 in the Message says this, my choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find that I'm your choice. Look at that. That's an amazing verse. My choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find that I'm your choice. The beauty of discovering God is He's already chosen you. The amazing thing about that loving God is realizing He first loved me. The ability for me to love Him comes from His ability to love me. And there's nothing that separates me from that. Verse 6, you set me up with a house and a yard, and then you made me your heir. The wise counsel God gives me when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting it go. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. Let me read that. That might be a prophetic word over you guys right now. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell, and that's not my destination. Now you've got my feet on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face. In the New King James Version, it says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. So I want to give you hope today. What happens? Instead of separation, what does the resurrection bring? Connection. Connection to Him and the ability to connect in human relationships and it be healthy and whole. Instead of death, He brings you life. Instead of brokenness, He makes you whole. Come on, this is what we get. Instead of it being pointless, you have purpose. Instead of you being an orphan, you're a son or a daughter. And that means something because that means you have an inheritance. Instead of being a slave, you're free. I love this one. Instead of factions, you're family. It's not Republican, Democrat. I get some of the philosophies. Okay, we're not going there. It's not Baptist or Catholic, charismatic or cessationist. We're family. Why? Because of Jesus the Christ. So what have you been holding on to? Have you been holding on to separation? Have you been holding on to death? Have you been holding on to your brokenness? It's time to be made whole. Jesus restored us back to our original identity for God's original mandate. God restored you back to your original ID. When you were born dead on arrival. But when you're born again, come on. How many people know you're born powerful? You have hope. There's a reason to shout. There's a reason for joy. There's a reason to. We have answers for the nations. Do you understand this? If God is always speaking and He's always speaking to His people, He still speaks. And we're looking at the problems that our cities and our nations are facing and we're wondering, we're going like, where's the political solution to this and what's the solution to this? And there's companies going like, what new product are we supposed to bring or what type of strategy are we to bring in because the economy kind of crashed? What do we do? They need to find Christians who are born again that can hear the heart of the Father and say, this is what God is saying. Do you understand that? We were always meant to be the loudest voice on the planet for His. So take whatever voice you've been hearing the most this last week. If that's a political voice, if that's the voice of a disease, if that's a voice of a past, if that's a voice of saying, you don't know what my family was like, I care about that. I really do. So hear me when I say this. But hear the voice of the one that says, I can make you whole. I didn't just pay for your sins. I paid for the sins that committed against you so you can be brought into wholeness and righteousness. It's time to come home. It's time to live as He is. It's time to bring as it is in heaven into the earth. It's time to be fruitful. It's time to multiply. It's time to, do you understand when it says, in the glory of the world, the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the oceans. That's the scripture, right? How's He going to do that? He's not just pouring out His Spirit on the planet. He has. He's pouring it into sons and daughters. And as we're fruitful and multiplying, everywhere we go, guess what's going with us? The glory of the Lord. Anywhere there's darkness, the light needs to come. Anywhere there's this point of pain, the healer needs to come. Anywhere there's hopelessness, there needs to be hope that comes. And that's you and I. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us brand new in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long again. So I'm going to give you a real quick invitation because I want to open up if there's anybody that does want to get baptized. I'll be here for a little bit afterwards. But my spiritual dad is Jack Taylor. I love him desperately. I love this man. And I'm so glad he and Frida are moving back from Florida to North Dallas in a few weeks, so he'll be even closer to me. But 1970, he was pastoring Castle Hills First Baptist Church. And in his heart was the heart to see the city of San Antonio saved. And there was this missionary woman named Bertha Smith who had been at the forefront, and I cannot say the province in China. Some of you guys will know a historical revival, but there was a historic revival in the early 1900s in China that swept through not just the Baptist church, but all the missionaries there, and it was from the power of the Holy Spirit. Bertha comes, and she was like 89, 90 years old when she came back to San Antonio, and she gets this invitation from Jack saying, I don't know what we need to do, but I know what I've seen God and heard God talk about doing in Jesus. Have you been born again? This is the message that started massive revival and awakening in the early 1900s in China. Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus the Christ? Have you given your life because he gave his life as a ransom for you? And so I ask you this question, have you been born again? Have y'all? For some of y'all, I'm like, wait a minute, I thought we had this conversation. Let me read the scripture for you, Romans chapter 3. So if you're here and you've never been born again, we don't need lights, we don't need smoke, I don't need to change my voice. I can do that. You just need to hear the voice of God. The voice of the Holy Spirit says this. Romans 3:22 through 25, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Romans 10:8-10. In fact, it says this, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Amen. Let me tell you what, I'm 43 now. When I was 16 years old, I met the love of God through the audible voice of God. I grew up Catholic. I love my Catholic upbringing. I have an uncle who was a priest, an uncle who's a monk, and I love my heritage and my family. And I was at 16 at my confirmation retreat. And as most 16-year-olds sometimes are, when you're into a dry church thing, you start to nod off. But they had given this book to go through the weekend, and in it had scriptures throughout it. I was absent-mindedly writing the scriptures from the book onto the back of the book because I didn't want to look like I was falling asleep because I wanted to honor the person that was there. And I heard the voice of God say, ask me why that dude hangs behind the priest every single week. For those of you who are not familiar with the Catholic Church, in every church, there is the cross with Jesus being crucified on as a reminder of him crucified. And I go, and I thought I was crazy. I turned to my friend Brad. I said, did you hear that? And he goes, so in my heart, I just said, why? And I heard, look down. I looked down, and the verse I had just written is Romans chapter 10, 8 through 10. And in a moment, I had a revelation. That dude's not on the cross anymore. And if that dude's not on the cross anymore, what does that mean for me? Do you hear what I'm saying? because there had been a point in my life where I went to confession. I went through those steps of him on the cross and him on the cross and feeling like I'm on the cross on an ongoing basis. But it was in that moment I realized, when he's been resurrected. And if he died for me and he's been resurrected, that means he resurrected for me. In a moment, I gave my life to the Lord. I had no idea what I was doing, but it was in the heart. It took several years to where I really began to walk with him. But it happened, and I began to grow in the Lord. And that's the invitation I give to you now. So I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes, because there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be afraid of. But I'm going to ask every single person right now, have you been born again? If you have, say, I have. If you have not yet, and you want to be, just say, I want to right now. It's okay. If you're online, give an invitation to it. Come on. Truly be born again right now. You're not being born into a religion. You're not joining a club. You're not joining a bunch of dry, angry people who just don't like bad behavior. You're joining the Christ who is the only one that can make you alive, who can tell you who you are, who secures your future, your identity, your purpose. Where else would you go for that? Because the world will let you down. I'll give one more time. If you want to be born again, just raise your hand. Check that live stream as well. So we're just going to affirm Jesus is Lord in this moment. What we may not realize is this right here is going to replay over and over again. So there's going to be people who are going to come to the Lord even from this invitation now. But what I want to encourage you, just like Bertha Smith, have you been born again? You said yes. Now, you're empowered to ask that question as well. The second question that she asked was this. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because it's by the Spirit that you're born again, but it's time to be filled. Somebody asked me one time, well, why is it we think there's a subsequent infilling the Spirit? I said, well, Jesus was water baptized, and then the Holy Spirit came on him. And so I asked the question, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Not just were you born again. When you were born again, the Spirit of God came in and he made you brand new. You were birthed through the Holy Spirit, making you new. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's got to fill you. And by the same way you were saved is the same way that you live. So I give you this invitation. I ask the question, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? This is participatory. I'm actually excited there's not a whole lot of voices, because that means we get to get a whole lot of people that are going to be filled for the first time. You hear what I'm saying? You might have been in a church setting where you got shouted down or told to shut up if you talked in church. I like talk back in here. I don't like it as a dad, but I like it in here. Why? Because I live my faith. I can't live your faith. Remember what it says, it's belief in the heart, confess with the mouth. Believe with the heart, confess with the mouth. Believe in the heart, confess with the mouth. And so I just want to give this invitation right now. This I will say, close your eyes, open your hands, and if you want to be filled fresh, stand up. Fresh. If you've been filled already, Ephesians says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So we just say, Holy Spirit, come. Your sons and daughters are here, and we just obey what your word says. We want to continually be filled with you. You said if we seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, everything will be added. We need you before anything else is added. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, like a wind, blow in here. Come, Holy Spirit, like a fire, settle into our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your peace that's beyond ability to understand. Come, Holy Spirit, that brings us into a place of passion. Come, Holy Spirit, until our thoughts become your thoughts, our minds become your minds, our wills become your wills. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're not looking for any particular manifestation. We're looking for you. We just want you. Nothing else. We just want you. If you're in that place right now, and the Holy Spirit's just speaking to you, He's just ministering to you, just ask Him this question, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to say to me in this moment? For someone in here, I know during worship, I saw a visual where your heart was locked away because of trauma in the past. Because your heart was wounded, you said, I'm never going to be hurt like that again. And so you locked your heart away, even from God. And just in this moment, I hear the Lord saying, you can trust me with your heart. So the Holy Spirit's bringing healing to trauma. There's others I hear that you held disappointment in God. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, I'm not disappointed in you. Don't let what happened or didn't happen take Him off the place of your heart. Just in this moment, say, I let go. I reappoint Jesus as Lord, even over things I don't understand. Specifically picking up on arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. And joints. And there's two things I'm seeing. One, there's just an attack of arthritis and the Lord wants to heal you right now. But the second thing is this, and don't hear this from shame, guilt, or condemnation. But I hear say the Lord say that the opening for that is from bitterness. And He loves you so much that He doesn't want to see anything keep you from receiving His love and walking in His wholeness. You don't have to raise your hand, but if that's you, just receive that right now. I just command rheumatoid arthritis to be healed now in the name of Jesus. I see specifically that He is wanting to address an orphaned mindset. And if some, you felt abandoned by an earthly father, whether they're absent or so present they beat the hell out of you. And the Lord's saying, that was never my best plan for you. I did not leave you as orphans. I see some you've served in ministry and you've served really with all your heart. And there was leaders who could never recognize the value inside of you where they required performance in order to stay connected instead of being connected that led to fruit. And you felt used and abused by spiritual authority. And it's an orphaned feeling. And I just say, the Lord says, you are my son, you are my daughter, and you I am well pleased. You never have to perform for my affection. You never have to earn my love. You already have it. Yeah, I see it falling off. I see sonship coming on you right now. Holy Spirit, come. There's one more group that we'll address now. But I see some people who are weary. And the Lord looks to you and says, well done. You've been faithful. I see your weariness. Why don't you come rest with me? Why don't you receive the rest I want to give you right now? I'm going to ask if that's you. This is one thing I feel like he says to raise your hand on. If that's you, you just felt weary. You're tired. You've been serving the Lord. I see you. I see you. I see you. And I just release over you right now, shalom, wholeness, rest. Allow the Holy Spirit, as it is spirit, soul, and body, to come into you and wash away the weariness of faithfulness. I hear the Lord say over you, you've been faithful. You have been found faithful. And I'm proud of you. And I champion you. In this moment, he's given you an inheritance of rest. Just receive it. For some of you, the Holy Spirit may say it's time to sit down for a few from the activity you're doing. Some others, I'm just telling you, this isn't a cessation of activity. He's giving you a refreshment for the next part of the race. Just come, Holy Spirit. Why don't you guys have a quick seat? So Bertha Smith, have you been born again? Have you been filled with the Spirit? She asked the next question, are you currently being filled with the Holy Spirit? Moment by moment, are you being filled? The key to everlasting life on the earth as it is in heaven is continually be filled with the same Spirit that brought you everlasting life. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well, if you only knew who I was, rivers of living water would burst up inside of you. I meant to give you this example, but I didn't get a chance to send it to the guys, but I'll post it on our Facebook page. But in, I think it's in Serbia, there is this tree, and I don't know if it's a walnut or what it is, but it's a tree that's underneath it has got a natural spring. And pouring out at 24 hours, 7 days a week is this water bursting out of the center of the tree because it's rooted and planted right over a spring. And this is the picture, this is the illustration of one who is filled with the Spirit and continually filled with the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said. He says, I will make you trees, oaks of righteousness, is what it says in the Old Testament. Those who are planted along a river where healing is on in your leaves, right? And there's a spring of living water that's constantly flowing. Because see, the key to not being burned out is constantly staying connected to him. It comes from the overflow. It comes from the overflow. God was doing so much there right now. It's just such a somber thing. It's such a beautiful thing what he's doing. Why don't y'all stand up with me? In my heart, I had at this point was going to be a buildup for us to go, yeah, right? But listening to the Holy Spirit, which is awe. Can you feel that in the atmosphere? There's just a reverence, a fear of the Holy, fear of the Lord, which is his reverence for who he is. I added a fourth question to this. Are you living resurrected? Pour it out. Are you living resurrected? Pour it out. Colossians 3, verse 2 through 3 says this, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. So let's just pray right now. Father, we just thank you. I thank you for every family here. I thank you for every child, teenager, and adult. I thank you that during worship, there was this agreement that was coming from the children that were dancing. It's like, hallelujah, yes, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there was agreement that was coming from the children who are adults in this room just going, yes, Lord, more of you. Lord, with one voice, we just cry out, Jesus, you are Lord. You are worthy of it all. I just ask right now that you would fill every person, Lord God, with a confident expectation that, Father, you are who you say you are and that you do what you say you're going to do on time, every time. That we are who you say we are. Come on. And that we can do what you say we can do. Because we're rooted, we're found in you, we're resurrected in you. I just pray this week, Lord God, a greater understanding, a greater revelation, every moment, Lord God, where we just at the forefront of our thoughts and our ideas would be, how is Jesus living resurrected through me right now? How is he living resurrected in me right now? What does that look like? I this is prayer, but I just dare you to those who are listening right now. I dare you to be bold, to see just how resurrected Jesus is, and just to see how resurrected you are in him. It's not a performance, but experience the resurrection life. In fact, that's just the impartation I release over you right now. I release an impartation of the resurrected life over you right now. For every person that's born again, you are fully resurrected, and you're growing into a deeper knowledge of him. Just have your way in us, Lord God. We ask for your city, Braunfels. We ask for Seguin. We ask for Canyon Lake and San Marcos. We ask for Schertz and Cibolo, Lord. We ask for San Antonio and Austin, Lord God. We ask for Kyle. We ask for Buda. We ask for all the surrounding region, Lord God, that they would come to know you, the one crucified, high and lifted up, who's resurrected. I just pray right now for the brokenness of families to come into wholeness. Just continue your good work, Lord God, and fill us with your joy. And we just declare this right now in your mighty name, and all God's people say, amen, 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 amen. Give them a shout of praise. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.